It is good that you and I can come together once again here, even at this year, getting close to 4th of July. And we're going to celebrate a little bit of that today. But I do want to say today, because you and I are here, it's because those that have fought, bled, and died for this great nation, that you and I can enjoy family and friends. We can enjoy the fireworks, the festivity. We can enjoy the things of life that we have from generation to generation because of those that bled and died for our country. And it is a wonderful thing to know that we became independent in 1776 and we become that great nation. If you have your Bibles today, I want to go into God's Word to Proverbs, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 34th verse. Proverbs 14 and 34. The title of my message today is this: One Nation, One Choice. One Nation, One Choice. And I want us to look at this as time will permit. I want to thank those that are watching today. My prayers are something that I can say to encourage you and your family along the way as we get into God's Word today. The title is One Nation, One Choice, and that is Proverbs 14:34. Let us look at this passage of Scripture. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I want to read this again. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. On July the 4th of 1776, the 13th colonies claimed their independence from England, as events which eventually led to the formation of the United States. Each year on July the 4th, also known as Independence Day, Americans get together and celebrate the historical event. And I want to share with you today that God is clearly has His hand upon America, and that He has His hand upon you and I. And I've always said, and I will continue to say, there is no surprise to God in anything that happens in your life or my life. He already knew it. He already knows it. There's no surprise to Him. And that we need to understand and be reassured that God is going to take care of you and bring you through the nation that you live in and keep His hand upon you and protect you through all that you and I go through in life. We look today at a day of celebrating freedom and the courage of those who dare to proclaim liberty. Liberty, a cherished biblical principle that I want you to know today. In Leviticus 25 and 10 from the Old Testament, the Bible says, "It shall consecrate the 15th year and proclaim liberty through all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possessions. Each of you shall return to his family." I want you to know today how to secure the blessings of liberty for the future. Solomon's good advice for any nation: a national choice between righteousness and reproach. The choice today, is it going to be righteousness or reproach? Because the Bible clearly lets us know it's either or. It's one nation, it's one choice that you and I must understand that we are to make. And there are three important questions for us all, and I want to leave a few of those with you today. My first point is this: what builds up a nation? What builds up a nation? The Bible lets us know that righteousness builds up a nation, because righteousness exalts a nation. Political leaders usually prescribe the following. They will prescribe a mighty military force, a strong economy, and the development of resources, improvement of education, improvement of technology, but righteousness is a nation's great treasure. And I want you to know today, we cannot leave from righteousness. We cannot walk away from righteousness. There are those today that are electing, that are choosing, and making their mind up that they're going to walk away from God, and they're going to do what they want to do, be what they want to be, say what they want to say, go where they want to go. But we as Christians and body believers of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that righteousness must be in the heart of our minds, our heart, and our souls, and we need to understand that we cannot walk away from righteousness, but righteousness is having the right relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, we will be a country or a nation that we become very laxadated. We will become very laxed in what we do. A carefree society, which that is a world which we live now. But I want you to understand that God has His hand upon us, but He is wanting to make sure that we walk in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are calling on Him. Not on Wednesday night, not on Sunday morning, but we're calling on Him every day to know, Lord, I need Your direction. I need Your hand. I need Your hand to be over me, my family, and to be over America, that we will go in the right direction. Righteousness is a nation's greatest treasure. Righteous living determines a nation's destiny. Let me say this again. Righteousness living determines a nation's destiny. Listen, I want you to know what you are in the church is what you are at home. What you are at home is what is in the church. I want you to know there's no separation. I want you to know that God just doesn't worship and you serve God just in church and go home and live like the devil. That's not righteousness. That's not having the right relationship. The right relationship is that when you leave church, that you go home and that you let your church be an altar, that you let your home be an altar. You continue to stay in prayer, because if the devil doesn't fight you in the church, the devil's going to fight you when you get home. So understand, we cannot walk away from God. We must keep God in the center of our hearts, our life, and our relationship, that He would be the one that will guide us and that would take care of us and that would lead us into all truth. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, the enemy will rock you to sleep. And that's what he tries to do every day of our lives. He's doing everything he can to try to poke at you, try to do everything he can to keep you from having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If he can keep you from reading your Bible, if he can keep you from praying, if he can keep you bringing your family before God, if he can do that and distract, that's what he's going to do. But we must understand that righteousness must raise and rise up within our hearts and life to know that we must have that right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to know, the Bible clearly lets us know that righteous living determines a nation's destiny. Charles Bridges writes this in a Proverbs commentary on this text. He says, "The history of the chosen people, as they were a righteous or a sinful nation, is marked by corresponding exaltation or disgrace. And we need to understand we're at the crossroads right now that we have to make a decision. Am I going to live right? Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to do what God has called me to do? The Bible clearly lets us know that we have to make a decision whether we're going to stay firm and be firm in God's word and stand for the truth, stand for what's right, because if we don't, we will falter to all the things that are around us. But we must keep our eyes on the cross, keep our eyes in the Word of God, and stay strong, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know that we must continue to exalt Him and lift Him up and say, Lord, You're number one in my life, and that God, I'm trusting You and I'm trusting in You that You will continue to take care of me every step of the way. My second point today is this: what brings down a nation? What brings down a nation? What brings down a nation? Sin is a reproach to any people. I have always said, my mother always told me, she said, son, when she was living, she said, sin will take you further than you want to go, and sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And I want you to know today that it is not time for us to play around with sin, but we are to begin to nip it. And what I mean by that is coming to the cross and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sin, and Lord, purge me, wash me, renew me, and Lord, see if there be any wicked way in my heart and life. As the psalmist David began to pray, he said, Lord, search me, know me, You know my thoughts, You know everything about me. If I make my bed in heaven, Lord, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, Lord, You're there. No matter where I go, Lord, You are there. And I want you to know today, it doesn't matter what is going on in our hearts and in our lives, God is a loving God, but God is a just God. And God hates sin. He cannot look upon sin. And the only way that we can get to the Lord Jesus Christ is through the blood of the Lamb that was shed upon Calvary's cross, through the cross that we can get to the Father. And when God sees the sin that's in our hearts and our lives, we are saved, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He saves us, He cleanses us, He washes us, and He renews us daily. I want you to know today that sin will become that reproach to this great nation and to any people. Consider the decline for a minute of civilization in Romans 1. They refused, in Romans chapter 1, they refused to glorify God and be thankful. They chose idolatry over true worship. They practiced many forms of immorality. They became violent. They became deceitful. They became proud. Sin brought the downfall of many once proud empires. As we see the Babylon Empire begin to come down through Belshazzar, and as we see in Daniel the 5th chapter. The Medes of Persian and Grecian empires begin to come down because of sin. The Roman Empire. Neither nation nor individuals can sin, and hear me today, nor individuals or nations can sin and win, because you'll lose every time. You will lose every time. Why? Because you're going away from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you're becoming anti-Christ. You don't want to have nothing to do with Christ. You're going away from Him. The love that He's given you on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago, you're neglecting that. The blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross, you're neglecting that. You're ignoring that. You're doing and going your own presumptuous ways, and you're doing what you're wanting to do. Now, I want you to know God is not up in the heavens with a billy bat to make you serve Him. He has given you and I a choice, just like He gave Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them a choice. And it was a choice that they selected. And it was not a good choice, but it was a bad choice. And that's what God does. God sends His Son, but He doesn't send a billy bat to make you do anything that you do not want to do. Because you're a free moral agent. You can make the decision. But, here's the but there are consequences when sin stays in your life. There's consequences. And there's a price to be paid. Numbers 32 and 23 says this, "But if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." You might be hiding it from the pastor. You might be hiding it from friends and loved ones, but there's one thing for sure, folks. The Word says you cannot hide from God, because His Word says clearly your sins will find you out. Your ways are not His ways. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. But God clearly sees you and I and knows us inside and out. Why? Because He's created you to worship Him, not the devil. He's created you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's caused you to move out and live a life of abundance and to live in peace and joy and contentment. Why? Because He sent His Son that you and I could have victory and have the power that we may move forward to be the servant and the disciple that Jesus Christ has called you and I to do. We don't have time to dilly-dally around with sin and everything else around. We are to be sold out, consecrated, and dedicated to keep the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and life, that we may move out and be the servant that He's called us to be. Give God praise in the house today. The Bible clearly lets us know the ways of a transgressor is hard. The ways of a transgressor is hard. The Bible says, "What if man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Folks, I want you to know the devil has sold you nothing but a bill of goods, and he's going to kick you right down the wrong road of destruction. And now is the time to shake yourself, wake yourself, and understand that the enemy is not asleep. He is well awake. He's going to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come to give us power and victory to overcome the enemy. And we have the power in Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that God is calling on you and I every day. His Holy Spirit is here on this land. His Holy Spirit has not left this land as of yet. But one day His Holy Spirit will leave this land, and it will go. But until then, God with His extended mercy, God with His extended grace, He is still calling on you, telling you, giving you time to repent, stop doing what you're doing, and begin to say, "Lord, I fully surrender to Your Lordship." Because God is calling us, because He doesn't want no one to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. My third point today is this: who makes the difference? Who makes the difference? What builds up a nation? What brings down a nation? Now, who makes the difference? Here becomes the bridges. What an enemy, ungodly man is to his country. National exaltations depends on how individual citizens live. It depends on us. You become the church. We become the church. A nation is disgraced by unrighteous citizens. Why? Because we're going our own way. We're doing our own thing. In other words, I don't need you, God, right now. And if I do need you, I'll call on you when I need you. But right now, everything's doing fine. I've got my house. I've got my car. I've got my family. Oh, I've got everything I need. I don't need you, God, because I've got everything. And the minute when we act like we've got everything, wait a minute, you've lost everything. Because I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter how many cars you got, how many houses you got, it doesn't matter what monies you've got, that doesn't mount to a hill of beans. Because guess what, you can't take nothing or none of it with you. None of it. It's going to stay here, and it's going to crumble up. But here's what's going to happen. You've got to make a choice before you die. Am I ready to go? Am I ready to leave this life? Am I prepared spiritually to leave this life? That's the question that we need to ask, because it's never granted that you're going to live tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. We don't know when. You may be here today, next year, this time, you may not even be here. We don't know, but what we do know is that we've got to be prepared. We've got to be right. We've got to be ready to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, righteousness is not legislated by living out by individuals. Hear me again. Righteousness is not legislated by living out by individuals. How we live makes a difference for the future of our country. How you live today marks what tomorrow will bring. How you live today is going to see how you continue on in your life and in your walk with the Lord. Am I going to live and strive to live a righteous life? Because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And are we going to make the decision? Listen, I know we're not walking around that we're all perfect. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we've got to strive every day to live a righteous life. For God to find that this nation to be exalted with Him, we've got to strive every day. We may not get it all the time. We may go down through some valleys. We may not be hitting it like a bullseye. But guess what? For us to continue in the nation that God has set us free, not only physically, but He has set us free spiritually through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a decision that you and I have to make. And when we make the right decisions, we will make the difference in a nation. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. A call to personal holiness. That's why the Bible says for us to work on our own salvation. I can't work on John Doe's. I can't work on Susie Q's. I have to work on my own salvation in fear and trembling. In other words, we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, then we've got to come to an altar of prayer. We've got to come, and if we have and we're not, then we've got to repent and do our first works over, because the love of God is still there and wanting wanting us to do the right thing. You can't say one thing and do another. Because that's not what God doesn't want. God would either want you on fire or He would rather want you cold. He doesn't want you lukewarm. Because the Bible says He will spew you out if you're lukewarm. So either you're on fire or you're not on fire. Because He can work with that. Because He has called us. You have not called yourself. You have not saved yourself. You cannot save yourself. Jesus Christ had you in mind before your mind was ever on Jesus Christ. When you were in sin, and if you're in sin living like the devil, He still has His mind on you. And He wants you to come to know Him in a mighty way. Making that change is saying, Lord, I want to exalt You, Lord. I don't want to exalt myself. I want to exalt You. And when we begin to exalt Him, then that's when He begins to find favor in you and I, because we've put everything else aside and He becomes uno, number one in our life. And nothing else matters. That makes the difference. That's when the rubber meets the pavement, when God sees that there's a change, that you're getting serious with Him. Listen, how we live will make that difference for the future of our country. A call to personal holiness, a call to search our hearts, a call for confession of sin and full surrender, a call to say, Lord, let me stop in my tracks of acting the way I'm acting or the way I'm living, Lord. Stop me in my tracks. Hold me, Lord, and God, get me on the right track, because I'm on the wrong track of destruction. And there are sometimes you've got to tell yourself, I am going in the wrong direction, because I'm telling you, the enemy will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And he will promise you all the great and mighty things, but it's nothing but death. Because He's out to kill, steal, and to destroy. When Jesus Himself looked at Peter in the face and said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. In other words, he wants to destroy you. If our Lord and Savior looked at Peter in the face, don't think for a moment that the enemy does not want to destroy you. Because if he can destroy you and to destroy me, that's what he will try to do. Shake yourself and let God's Holy Spirit take alive in your life and be changed, transformed, and renewed. Because the Apostle Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewed of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. It's not saved, but you've got to renew it. And the power of God must come in to begin to sanctify the heart and the mind that God has given unto you. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to realize that this is bigger than you. This is bigger than me. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about what God is doing with this nation. He's wanting us to come back to Him, fall upon Him, repent, restore, and renew the love of God back unto Him. He told the church at Laodicea, He said, I see all the works. I see all the things you're doing, all your dotting all your I's. You're crossing all your T's. Oh, you've got this performance going. You've got this plan going. Oh, I see how the church is functioning and how it's running and how it's operating. But he says, you lack one thing. And they probably scratched their head and said, what are we lacking, God? We're doing everything you've asked us to do. He told them straight up, you've lost your love. You've lost your love. And I want you to know today, when you lose the love
of God, you've lost it all. Because it doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter how mechanically you are, you can step into church, you can step out of church, you can do all the great and mighty things, but if you've lost the love of God, you have lost it all. Listen, he says, if you don't change your ways, if you don't come back to me and love on me, if you don't come back and love on me, he said, I will remove that candlestick. I will remove my spirit. I will move my presence. In other words, he's letting us know, hallelujah, he's letting us know that the love of God that God has in his spirit can literally leave your church and leave your relationship because your heart is hardened. That's why the Bible says today is a day of salvation. If you harden not your heart, today, the Holy Spirit is calling on us today. That's why we've got to check ourselves. That's why the Apostle Paul says you've got to do an examination. You've got to examine yourself to see if you are of the faith. And if you are not of the faith, and your love is gone, he says, guess what? Do your first works over and begin to repent and say, Lord, I confess. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, he will cleanse, he will wash, he will renew when we begin to confess. As a nation will confess, God will save, he'll deliver, he will heal and bring this great nation of the United States of America back to the cross where people are to be found and to be saved, delivered and healed. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for this is a great nation. Now I want to go a step further. Israel is God's people. You better believe it. You better believe it. And I want you to know that that's his first, and that is his love. And I want you to know, you and I, we are grafted. Hear me today, we are grafted in the vine. We are grafted in with Israel. But I want you to know, because we have been grafted, it's because as we are the Gentiles, he's grafted us in because he has loved us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, God sent his mercy unto us, that we would be grafted in. And therefore, he is saving America because of his grace and mercy, that you and I may have that chance of opportunity to come to know him as we're grafted in the vine. Listen, I want you to know, today, we cannot play church. We've got to be the church. We have got to be the church. We have got to begin to understand that it is God that saves a nation. It is God that will bring this nation. But it is for us to fall upon the name of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, he says, when the turning takes place, when the stop of wickedness takes place, when we humble ourselves, when we begin to pray and seek not our will, but seek God's will, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal what? Their land. And folks, we are at that moment right now. We're here. We're here. We're not talking about 2 years from now. We're not talking about 5 years from now. My dad, many, many years, preached about rapture and preached about the end times and preached about what of that 20, 30, 40 years ago. But I want you to know right now, that scripture right now is happening right now. It's already here. It's already here. The coming of the Lord is already at nigh. It's at hand. It's already here. Listen, I've heard over and over and over and over, but I want you to know that's what happened with Noah and the ark. They heard it over and over and over. It's not going to rain, Noah. It's not going to rain. It ain't rained in 100 years. It ain't even going to rain. It's not going to rain. What you doing? God's told you to build this big ark, and it's not going to rain. It never has. It's not going to rain. And they heard it over and over and over, and all of a sudden, drip, 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 and the rain came. And the Bible says, when they all begin his family of the eight and all the animals, the Bible says God shut the door. Had nothing to do with Noah anymore. Had nothing to do with Noah. When God speaks, everybody listens, whether you like it or not. When God speaks, everybody listens. The door is shut. He could not open up the door because God shut the door. Folks, I want you to know today, it is definitely a wake-up call and a warning that when God shuts the door, that's it. That's it. That's it. I can't open it. Nobody else around you can open it. It's it. You can be on your dying deathbed. If God shuts the door on your dying deathbed, there's not a thing I can do about it. I can pray all over you. The church can pray all over you. But if God wants to shut that door on your deathbed, it's going to be shut. And there's not a thing you're going to be able to do about it. Right now, they're all around Jimmy Swaggart's body in the hospital. They say that he's brain dead. And only his heart's bumping and moving. And Donnie Swagger said, mother's trying to make a decision. She doesn't know whether she wants to let him go or keep him back. And Donnie said it this week, said, it's all a decision that has to be made. Oh, Mom, Mom's got to make the decision. But the doctors are already come in and said he's brain dead. But Mom's praying for a miracle. Folks, I want you to know, I do believe in healing. I do believe in God healing. But when God shuts the door and says enough is enough, there's nothing that you and I can do. I want you to understand this. And while God has given you the opportunity to come to know Him, while He's given you the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and make that profession of faith, the Bible says today is a day of salvation if you harden not your heart. Getting it right is getting it ready. To be prepared, because you're just passing through this life. There is life after death. And we've got to make sure we get it right. Because hell's hot and I don't want to go. And if you think South Carolina has been hot, you ain't seen nothing yet of what hell is. Because it's 7 times hotter. I can't even imagine it. But you know what? It's time for us to get right. It's time for us to get ready. You say, well, Pastor, what about everything else that's going around? What about her? What about him? What about this? Get your eyes off of everything else that's around you. Don't be the blame game and blame somebody because of the past. Oh, well, but Pastor, you don't know about the past. You don't know about this. And we'll go through the whole list of blaming everything else so that we can make all our wrongs to be right. And guess what? We will miss heaven. And we'll wind up making hell our home. Listen, the Bible says hell is enlarging itself. It's enlarging itself every day. Listen, the devil doesn't sleep, folks. You've got to go to sleep. I got to go to sleep. But listen, the devil doesn't sleep. He's always alert. He's always awake. And he will try to do everything he can. And what we need to do as a nation, we've got to keep ourselves right. We've got to keep ourselves ready. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus' return and get ready, because we're about to leave this life. We're about to leave this life. I want you to know today, I've come too far to look back. I've come too far to look back. There's nothing for the world for me. I do not want to lose heaven for the world. I've done been in the world. I've done been there. I've done that. I know what it brings. It brings nothing but destruction. And I want you to know today is a day of salvation if you harden not your heart. Stand with me across the building today.